Broadcasting to New York City, Los Angeles, Chicago, Sydney, London, and around the world, this is Trumpet Radio Live.
Thanks for joining us here on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG, online at kpcg.fm, live link at thetrumpet.com as well. This is the Thursday edition of Trumpet Radio Live. A lot more about the election fallout, some interesting stories to go through. The media is sort of sorry, but not really. We'll talk about that. And where did the pollsters get it all wrong? That's one of the big questions that people are asking. And so a lot of information about that. That and more coming up on this Thursday edition of Trumpet Radio Live here on 101.3 KPCG.
This is Trumpet Radio Live.
Thanks for joining us here on Trumpet Radio Live on this Thursday edition. It's 101.3 KPCG online. We're at kpcg.fm. We have a live link at thetrumpet.com as well. And you can listen to us on the TuneIn app or a few other apps if you'd like to. Follow us on Twitter, if you would, at kpcgfm. And if you'd like to send us any emails, you can do that. We appreciate those. Comments at kpcg.fm. I'm Dwight Falk, Grant Turgeon with me here today. Grant, I have to ask you, are you afraid? You find yourself afraid right now?
I'm afraid to go outside because we have a bigot as our next president.
That's the thinking, right? That's what some people are saying. It's so interesting because some of these protesters are yelling about being afraid, but they're out there in the street protesting. If you were afraid, I don't think you'd be banging the drum and showing your sign and yelling, like, you know. I don't know that I've been really afraid too often in life. Maybe a few times, but. When you're really afraid, you don't want to make a lot of noise.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't buy it. I don't buy the hype.
It's all manufactured, and it just gets old very quickly. I mean, what do they really envision happening now that Donald Trump is the president? Do they think that they're going to be deported just because they're not white? I think that has to do with maybe if you're an illegal immigrant, and even most of them won't get deported either.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of hype about that. So we have some stories about that. It's talked about on the Trumpet Daily Radio Show today as well, which is really outstanding, especially today, and some just unbelievable quotes that he plays, sound bites from major media and some of the inflammatory things they're saying. You know, if anybody's interested, there is a passage in the Bible that says you're going to be held accountable for every word. So that's something to think about, especially when people have a major platform and they're stirring the pot, not with any sort of facts, but just wild emotion. I don't know. I mean, are you going to be responsible for that? I would think so.
Exactly. And the thing is, these people don't actually believe a lot of the things they're saying. It's maliciously meant to mislead a lot of people who maybe don't even know better, but should.
It's really an interesting situation. There's a story here from Newsmax. We were talking during the actual election because we were on the air talking about it as it was happening, the vote. And we were kind of wondering, I wonder what's going on, you know, at each of the camps. And so Newsmax has this write-up from Ed Klein. He says, Hillary couldn't stop crying, told friends she blames Comey and Obama for the loss. He's a best-selling conservative author, Ed Klein. He told Newsmax TV on Wednesday. According to his sources, he says she called a friend, and eventually her friend said she could make out that she was blaming James Comey, the director of the FBI, for her loss. And this I don't understand exactly. They said, and the president of the United States for not doing enough. That's the quote. They said they didn't understand that. So they asked further about the president, she said, well, she felt Hillary felt that the president could have stopped Comey a long time ago, could have jumped in there and told him to be quiet and didn't. And so she blames them.
For not colluding with the FBI enough.
For not colluding enough, apparently.
Although clearly something is going on with that agency right now.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's interesting. And then I don't know, there's so much going on Election Day that I don't know how many people paid attention to the WikiLeaks that dumped, but there was more WikiLeaks that got dumped. And this write-up about that says WikiLeaks continues to prove worst fears about Clinton presidency. It says the Podesta emails have provided further evidence the Clinton campaign rigged the Democratic primaries for Hillary Clinton with the help of quote-unquote neutral DNC staff. and autonomous mainstream media outlets that coordinated together behind the scenes. Is that shocking?
No, it's not. That just shows you there's no end to the corruption from the radical left.
It says the emails revealed the Clinton campaign lied about how early they started her campaign. She was still giving, I guess, highly paid speeches on the circuit. They say that Chelsea Clinton was exposed as having used the Clinton Foundation as a personal checking account. It was revealed that Bill Clinton used the Clinton Foundation as a means to make the Clintons rich, and he exchanged political favors with Ukrainian billionaire Viktor Punchik for Clinton Foundation donations. More emails showed that everything was scripted, that a lot of the things that she would say in debate she didn't even have input on. Other people wrote it. He's just reading it like a robot, I guess. So, you know, people, I guess, have various opinions about WikiLeaks, but it's their own information, and it just got put out there in the limelight.
But the Russians.
The Russians, yeah.
Well, actually, you know, she did blame President Obama for losing, and the reason that you could blame him is not because he didn't do enough. I mean, he's probably the only president to ever actively campaign for the person he wants to be the to be the successor. But really the reason that she should be blaming him is that she feels beholden to uphold his legacy.
Right.
Because that's what a lot of his followers want, is to do that. Yet most of the working class, most of the whites who have been lectured all these years for being racist, do not want any part of it.
Well, and it's pointed out on the Trumpet Daily Radio Show today that, you know, the president did come out yesterday and he gave some, what you'd expect, some sort of comments about let's work together and peace and all that. But you can't forget all the stuff that was said before that, all the accusations against Donald Trump, all those things. Coming out and making a nice little statement at the end doesn't change the fire you started. Mm-hmm. And it's starting to maybe simmer a little bit in some of these cities.
Yeah, and that is a tactic that we're seeing a lot from the left, is as soon as they start losing a debate, let's just call names. And every phobia in the book, just throw it at your opponent. Now look what's happening. Cities are burning across the country because a lot of people who did not research into what's going on actually believe that Donald Trump is all those things.
These WikiLeaks documents continue and show that this is a big miscalculation. The Clinton campaign meddled with the dates of the Democratic and Republican primaries to benefit Clinton. Donald Trump was purposefully elevated by the Clinton campaign and mainstream media because they thought he'd be a weaker candidate. And they got burned. Mm-hmm. A lot going on behind the scenes. Of course, there's that Donna Brazile who is leaking all the information about the questions. Dirty Donna, as they call her. You know, I saw an interview with her where she just sat there and lied about it over and over again. I'm a Christian woman. I wouldn't do this. She's been caught red-handed about 10 times, I think.
That's disgusting. Just to see someone just own it at some point, just own it and say, I made a mistake. I shouldn't have done it.
Right.
I won't do it again.
Not going to happen, apparently. September 2015, no surprise here, and MSNBC host Chuck Todd held a party for a Clinton campaign communications director. They were working together. Mainstream media journalists had an unethical relationship with the Clinton campaign. Rather than serving to inform the public, these journalists served the Clinton campaign behind the scenes to elevate their own careers and preserve the status quo. You mean to tell me they didn't have the best interest of the nation at heart? It was all about themselves?
What?
Shocking.
I know. It is shocking if you look into the links between journalists in mainstream news outlets and then also people in the Clinton campaign. A lot of people who are leading journalists have worked in the Democratic Party before, and it just shows you that the link there is not so pure as we might want it to be.
It's very interesting to see all this stuff come out. And again, I guess, people aren't talking about it as much now because they say, well, that's in the past. But it is still a big issue. Here's a really interesting thing, though. One thing about President Clinton, you have to say, is he had pretty good political instincts, pretty smart about how to handle that. This is from CSN News from WikiLeaks. Email shows Bill Clinton had 2016 race all figured out. He knew what was going to happen. It's pretty interesting. And what's interesting about this, too, is this narrative that we're hearing now in the media about Trump's this, Trump's that, they've talked about this for a long time. This is a plan, according to this, anyway. It says, this past February, a New York Times reporter contacted the Hillary Clinton campaign to see how Hillary, Bill, and other Democrats regard Trump as a potential election opponent. Clinton campaign in February, there was an email where they said, we're told that President Clinton, like Mrs. Clinton and some other Democrats, thinks that Trump would be a formidable opponent in the general election, and that Dems are in a form of denial if they dismiss Trump as a joke, who would be easily defeated in November. And here's what's interesting. President Clinton, like others, thinks that that Trump has his finger on the pulse of the electorate's mood, and that only a well-financed, concerted campaign portraying him as dangerous and bigoted will win what the Clintons think will be a close election.
Mm.
So they knew going in, at least some of them did, that weren't in denial. They said, well, he actually has his finger on the pulse of what's going on and the way people feel. So let's run this campaign and we'll portray him as dangerous and bigoted. And everybody in the media is doing exactly that even now. People act like this is just some sort of spontaneous thing. It's not spontaneous. We've got the Breitbart's got the release yesterday from MoveOn.org, which George Soros founded or was behind, saying, "Hey, let's all get together and have these protests in these cities." It's they're setting up. I mean, it's being set up for that.
Yeah, it's just the height of collusion, really, between the media and the Democratic Party, and you see even these people realizing that Donald Trump is a real threat, and they have to neutralize him in any way they can by just throwing out names. It's getting back to when we're young children and we don't like somebody and we call them a name. That's really what's going on. And they're just calling them all these names and they're throwing things at the wall and seeing what sticks.
Yeah. And all kinds of wild accusations flying around. So make sure you listen to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show today. It gets into a lot of that in detail. And again, great audio clips of some of the unbelievable things being said on the media. On CNN, major networks that I guess people watch still. Somebody does. But and it's the younger people that are out there. They're believing these stories are being told. And nobody cares about facts or truth. Or it's just, nope, I heard it. Everybody's going to get rounded up and deported. We've got to fight. And what are they even talking about?
There's no logic at all. And it's just people lying. It never stops. Even after Trump has already won, they're trying to take the election back. They're trying to still put Hillary Clinton in power, which if they do something like that, we are going to be a dictatorship. Well, that's all it can be.
And right. And even some of the journalists on the election coverage on very liberal outlets, all the outlets are pretty liberal. Even some of the older ones were saying, look, you have to respect the process or else you don't really have a democracy anymore. I even saw an article today where they said, well, you know, technically she could still win if the Electoral College just ignored the vote,
right,
did what they wanted. What are you talking about? Yeah, you could do that, but then, like you say, you don't have if you don't have any law in your country, you don't have a country anymore. And it's getting to be pretty wild.
That's right. And also remember what they were saying about if Trump was robbed in the election or he lost and then his followers thought it was rigged. They were saying that Trump supporters were violent and dangerous.
Right.
Look what's happening right now. They're burning the American flag. So do these people really like America if they lose one election and they burn the flag? I can't imagine it being that way if Hillary Clinton had won.
Well, they're just not, they're not thinking, sadly. And they don't realize that if you start a big problem, how are you going to stop that? How are you going to stop that? I mean, you look what's happened. The authority of the police has been undercut. Any sort of authority has been undercut, and that's what you see happening. What are they protesting? Oh, they say they're protesting Donald Trump. No, they're protesting authority of any kind. We're going to do what we want when we want. If we don't like it, we're going to run around and yell at people. At the very least, maybe more, but that's where it's heading.
Yeah, there's not very much of a line between a temper tantrum and a protest anymore, or a protest and a riot. We keep calling these things protests. 30, 40 years ago, a protest was you'd hold up a sign and you'd chant a few things. Now it's you set things on fire, you flip cars over and break store windows. That's not a protest. We can't keep calling it that.
Right. And on the Trumpet Daily Radio Show, Stephen Fleury was, you know, they played a lot of clips of people protesting. And they said, look, those are the only ones we could find without profanity.
Right.
Half the time you can't even play them because the language is so foul and the things that are being said. You know, is that a really good indication of the thinking and the intelligence that's going into these? If it's just this string of expletives, or is it just an emotional explosion? It is feeding on itself. And facts don't matter. Truth doesn't matter. It's just wild emotion. How are you going to rein that in?
Yeah, and these people are completely fine with a dictatorship as long as it is in their favor. Apparently, they can have abuses of power to the maximum the last 8 years, as long as it is against those evil Christians who are a threat to all of us and who would kill all of us if they had the chance.
Well, that's the funny thing, though. They haven't been benefited by anything either.
No.
I suppose, I mean, they're out there, you know, protesting stuff. It's like, well, when you get about 5 years older and you got to start paying your medical bills, are you going to protest about wanting that? Because at some point the rubber meets the road in terms of if you're going to be a responsible citizen, you may not like some of those policies that have been pushed there. Mm-hmm. That's the funny thing to me. They're protesting. I don't know what they're protesting. They're just following along on these wild fantasies. None of it's true, and they're just out there, and they're just wild about it.
Yeah, and they're really out of touch. I was reading an article that it pointed out that there aren't a whole lot of 9-to-5 workers completely independent of government subsidies in the Democratic voting base. And that might sound extremely offensive, like we're saying all of them are bums. But no, a lot of them are in the big cities, and they're making way too much money to even be affected by some of these liberal policies. Others are living in slums in the big cities right next to the elites, but they're completely dependent on the government. And then there's the college liberals, the ones who need the safe spaces, who are basically living off of their parents' generosity. And these people do not have too many bills to pay. They don't realize the impact of something like Obamacare on their finances, and so they don't even care. It's all about emotion, and they'll take one or two things that Trump says and say, "Oh, he's a xenophobe." I still don't even know what that is because I haven't bothered to look it up because it's garbage.
That ties in exactly to what I wanted to say here about this is from Breitbart. It's at MoveOn.org. This is their press release yesterday. They said hundreds of Americans, dozens of organizations, to gather peacefully outside the White House and in cities and towns nationwide to take a continued stand against misogyny, racism, Islamophobia, and xenophobia. In order to protest, you should have to be able to define those. Like at the starting gate. Like, do you know what that means? Mm-hmm. And I bet that like 98% would not be able to protest. They'd be like, I'm not even really sure what that means, but I'm against it. If there's one thing I can't stand, it's this word that I don't understand.
We've descended so far that when someone like Trump says, the ghettos are hellish to live in, then that's racism because you're acknowledging a problem that needs to be fixed. I thought racism was a hatred for an entire skin color, but now we're just blurring all of these definitions just because it works in their favor.
Yeah, and it's whenever you see people protesting, it's typically younger people or out-of-touch celebrities. They protest from their iPhones on Twitter. You know, I'm so mad I'm protesting with a tweet on my $700 iPhone. But anyway, so when they're out there protesting, I always think it's like a kid having a temper tantrum, but they expect mom and dad to make them lunch. You know, it's like, okay, you want just, what do you want? Chaos? Who's gonna clean it up? Who's gonna pay the bills? Who's gonna feed you? Oh, well, you know, we didn't think much about that. They protest and then they go back to their dorm or their, I assume, fairly nice home. You know, and it's like, I don't think they understand that there are consequences. If you want to cast off all law, and that's all it is. All these terms are throwing around, it's just they want to cast off all restraint and all law. Well, then who's going to protect you when the guy next to you decides, you know what? I like your watch. I like your sign you made. I mean, how you're going to get together? This wild mob is going to somehow come together and form some sort of leadership that's going to peacefully rule, and then everyone's going to follow the rules? It's disaster. You can't have it. At MoveOn.org and others, they're the ones that are trying to push it, and so are some of the major media outlets.
And they're all just colluding, and they just keep on making sure that these people protest. There's nothing constructive to it. It's all about dividing the country. Look, the election has already been decided. Move on. Try to
move on.org.
Because there are some ways to make sure that we heal some of the divides that are going on. But burning a city will not cause anyone to believe your stance.
No, there is a clip that is played on the Trump Daily Radio show with somebody on CNN. I don't remember who it was, but one of their commentators is all mad about everything. And he was going on and on. And somebody, he was, one of his big things is he says, well, you know, Donald Trump's a bully. That's, and other things. And so he's going on in this tirade, and somebody tried to just interject a point. And he's like, I will not be overtalked. And I'm like, you're a bully. Who talks like that? So you're going to yell and say whatever you want, and no one can have a counterpoint. And you're saying that you're mad because somebody's a bully? That sounds like bullying behavior to me.
the left completely likes to silence anything that disagrees with their agenda. I mean, if you do watch some of those liberal television stations, they'll have a conservative on there from time to time, and he's making a killer point, and they know it. So what do? Oh, hey, stop. Right. They just sound like they're a broken record. They just keep on yelling. They raise their voice so that you can't hear the logical point being made.
Right. It's there was another unbelievable soundbite. It's on the Trump Daily Radio Show today. Make sure you listen for it. Some college protester, she's out there yelling about something. And she starts talking pretty inflammatory. And this is on like CNN. And she says, there's going to be casualties on both sides. And this is going to be a big battle. And it's like, what are you talking about? It's outrageous. And it's on CNN. I mean, they're just playing that type of stuff. And so those clips are just, they're just mind boggling that's out there. And, but that's what's going on today. I mean, it feels strange to even talk about it because it seems so, you know, outlandish, but that's what's happening. And the mainstream media is pushing it. I think it's interesting because the mainstream media kind of got some comeuppance, I guess, when Hillary lost the election. And what are they going to do? Are they more humble now? You've got a story later about somebody that's a little bit more that way. But no, they're going to stick to their plan, and they're just going to now cause division. And they're going to be held accountable for it. I'm sure they will.
Exactly. Yeah. If you look at the media, what they think is that they were right, but they didn't realize how many idiots were in this country that opposed them.
Right.
That's what they think.
It's their viewpoint, yeah.
Yeah, and I've even seen maps where it has the gigantic swath of red in the middle and then just the blue on the fringes, and that's how votes go in every election.
And that's where the media center is.
Yeah.
Those blue spots.
Yeah, and it had it written all over the blue parts America, and then over the red part like Dumbistan or something.
Oh boy.
Where it was renaming it as in we are all a bunch of morons because we live in the middle of the country and away from these like liberal cesspools of all the big cities.
Wow. It's amazing. That ties into this of course this is a happening segment. The Huffington Post, they're upset, of course. They're sad because of what happened. So they had this story, why we got it wrong. So it was interesting to see why they got it wrong. their model predicted that Hillary Clinton had a 98% chance of being elected. That was incorrect.
Sure was.
That was incorrect. So the guy writing the story, I guess he's their main guy for this type of thing. And he said that people have been telling him he should be fired because he was so wrong. And he's like, well, no, it won't come to that, of course. But they said, well, what did they learn? And they learned that polls alone probably don't make a reliable forecast model, they say. And they say, we may have excluded polls that mattered from our model. Yeah, like those that didn't agree with your point. Yeah, you might have excluded those. And it's funny because they're all sitting there going, well, how did we get it so wrong? I saw a lot of polls that said he was leading, actually. I don't know what they're talking about. But the thing, too, is they say polls alone probably don't make a reliable forecast model. Well, I don't know about that. But if you're just asking your buddies in the break room there at HuffPo who they think is going to win, and that's your poll, yeah, it's probably not going to be accurate.
Get one guy out of 50 who's a Trump supporter about to get fired.
Yeah.
And that's how you get 98%.
Who are you asking? You know, they're asking their buddies. And that's probably why they didn't have the right thing. Somebody else made a good point about, well, if you're calling people and they know that if somebody said was going to support Donald Trump, that it was going to be frowned upon, they probably just lied about it. People are under no obligation to tell you what they really want to do. So it's hard to say.
Yeah, that's right. A lot of people were ashamed that they were supporting Trump because from all of the voices out there, it sounded like they might be the only ones. The election shows that there were 60 million.
Yeah, it's amazing. So they said, well, our model was right. The data was wrong. So it was somebody else's fault, I guess. But I saw something else today, which was, I don't know, maybe they do this all the time, but I've never seen it before. It was from Massachusetts, I think. And they printed how every county voted. And I suppose you could find that information. I guess that's not probably confidential, but talk about getting divisive. I'm like, well, that could be just a divisive thing to print and make a big deal out of because now everyone's looking and saying, oh, okay, you voted like this and you voted like that and you voted like that. And if you, like you said, if they're just mocking everybody that voted the other way, that doesn't bring anybody together, does it?
I've seen videos that just prove that intimidation is a big part of the left's plan to basically prevent votes from going to the other side. They've even had, I believe it was maps of donors in California who have contributed to Republican campaigns, something like that. And it had the address of the Republicans or the Republican supporters on the map. And so you could go on this interactive map, you could find where the person lived. And what do you think happened?
Vandalism, at least, I'm
sure. Exactly. Yeah, there was vandalism. There was a lot of property damage because you're putting people's addresses out there because they privately support a candidate.
Yeah. It's crazy. It is just really, really crazy. And that's going to be the interesting thing to watch now. How does the media handle it? Did they learn their lesson and now they're going to be, you know, neutral? Of course not. I wasn't sure what they were going to do. I thought, well, maybe they'll kind of take a step back or, you know, but not so far. Mm-hmm. The headlines have been pretty much just trying to stir the pot, especially some of these talk shows. So anyway, a lot of that's talked about on the Trumpet Daily Radio Show today with your host, Stephen Fleury. That's coming up here in a bit on KPCG.
They're not afraid, are they? Of all people to be afraid should be the media that constantly attacks Donald Trump. And he knows exactly where they work.
Right.
And yet they're showing up to work every day still.
Well, that's the thing I always think about. Okay, so they sit there in their studios and they'd say all this stuff and then they just go home and do whatever they do, eat a bagel or something. And but if you incite a riot, what, you think you're going to go home? You're not going to contain that. There are laws against inciting riots. You can't go into a movie theater and yell fire. You get in big trouble for that because mm-hmm. it incites a stampede and a riot. They're doing that every night. They're in effect, they're going on the TV and saying fire. Mm-hmm. You can't do that.
It's willful lying and stirring up. Basically, it's called fear-mongering, I think, which Donald Trump was accused of, but a lot of logic did support some of the things he said. They're just saying that he's going to deport people or hate people because they're skin color or they're legally immigrating here. That's fine. Yep. No one is saying that you can't do that.
And that's pointed out on the Trumpet Daily Radio Show today that, you know, he had said they were just going to hold off on letting, say, more people come in from Syria and some of these places until they could figure out what was going on.
Which is an incredibly wise move for the time being.
And even there, he's kind of walked it back, as is pointed out, because he's, you know, trying to, I guess, appeal to more people. Mm-hmm. But that's what was said. And then that's flipped around to say, everyone will be deported immediately. You know,
or a permanent ban on all Muslims, 1.6 billion people worldwide.
It doesn't even make sense. Like, who's going to pay for that? Like, and how would that... it's just ridiculous on every level. But any excuse to get out there and riot and hold up a sign that's misspelled is the best, I guess, what they're doing. Misspelling all their signs. I'm like, hey, nice idea, but you misspelled that word there.
They say Trump supporters are uneducated.
Yeah.
I think it goes both ways for every group of people has its uneducated in within.
It's craziness. That's but really, it's important, and it's important what's going on in this country. You're listening to Trumpet Radio Live here on 101.3 KPCG. We're online at kpcg.fm. Live link at thetrumpet.com. You can follow us on Twitter at kpcgfm, and you can email us comments@kpcg.fm. We appreciate all of those coming in. You remember Colin Kaepernick, of course, the protester. He didn't bother to vote in the election, so that's kind of funny.
He's just a classy guy.
He had a lot of protesting, but he didn't want to do anything about it. I'm Dwight Falk, Grant Turgeon, and Abraham Blondo is stopping by, and we've been talking a lot about the election. Of course, it's just the backlash and the fallout.
The white lash.
The white lash.
Right. Yeah.
The white lash.
Such a stupid term.
Yeah.
They invented it just to describe how. Yeah. Whites were fed up with it, I guess.
They ignored the fact that actually a lot of minorities voted for Donald Trump.
They sure did. It was not a racial thing.
Quite a few. A lot more than voted for Romney.
Sounds like a whitewash to me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. I always wonder what their meetings are like the day before the show. You know, they're not going to do any research because facts are irrelevant. So they're just, I don't know, just playing. My kids have got like the alphabet, you know, the letters that on the fridge and you can move them around. I wonder if they have one of those, like, what's a word I could come up with today?
Guys, I invented several new phobias that I was going to throw at him today, if you're okay with it, which of course you are.
And I love the crocodile tears where they're like, I don't know how I'm going to tell my kids about this.
My poor daughters.
Yeah.
What about Bill Clinton? It's just so hypocritical.
Well, I'm like, you'd have to get their attention first because they're probably on their iPhone. I don't really think they're too worried about. They're playing whatever game they're trying to find Pokemon. I don't think they're worried about.
I saw a guy who was commenting on one website where someone was saying, "How am I going to tell my daughters?" And he says, "Well, you just say Trump was elected due to the will of the American people. It's pretty simple. That's all you have to say.
Right. And if they'd all, they're, you know, going to be, go to their safe room and write poetry and drink tea or whatever you do when you're sad. It's, and they don't, that doesn't matter.
They're all huddled in bunkers because they're so afraid.
I guess so. But this, Abraham's got a story here for us from CBC News. Is that a Canadian news?
Yes, Canadian Broadcasting Corporation.
Of course. Of course Abraham has to bring one from being a Canadian himself. That's where. But I saw a headline today where they said Canada doesn't want you. Not you personally, but
right.
You can go back. You're you can go both ways there. But all the people that want to leave the U.S. and run to Canada, they're like, nah,
right.
Stay back there.
Yeah, I saw Don Cherry. He's a hockey analyst, but he's also a very just outspoken critic on everything. And he just said, we don't need any more lefties. We have enough as it is in Canada. So
nice.
Right. When the country wouldn't be balanced, it would tip and fall into the ocean. Everyone on That's the right. left side.
Well, since most of them live on the west coast, they would slide downhill into the sea.
Yeah, and it would tip back the other way. And
yeah,
it would
exactly.
Be, only the people in the middle would survive, as is normal. This headline is, thousands join anti-Trump protests around U.S., and we were talking about this a little bit earlier, just the fact that they are having these protests, but it's all being set up, like MoveOn.org yesterday. They're trying to get people out there. I even saw a tweet from, you remember Alyssa Milano? Who's the boss?
Yes.
It's a great question. Never been answered. she tweeted something like, if there's a lot of celebrities did, but, you know, if there's a protest tonight, tell me where. I'm like, what, are you going to go out there? Come on, get serious.
You'll get robbed so fast.
I know. They should have their own, like, their safe space, like, celebrity protest. They sit there and yell. And
the mob is not a respecter of persons, that's for sure. If they see a really rich person among them, it's a mob. How are you going to stop them from taking everything you own?
Yeah. I'm on your side. That's too late. but so anyway, people are jumping in on this, and what are some of the details here from CBC?
Yeah, so these are some, this is reporting on some protests that broke out throughout the country yesterday and last night, and they are picking up steam, and it is, they're not violent, even though there were some burning of different trash and other things in the streets.
I always feel like if they're going to burn trash cans, they should just like plan it out and get all the trash together and burn it. You know,
right?
That way you can protest and clean the streets.
Well, I think they should bring s'mores and hot dogs too as well.
Yeah, it could be happening. You never know.
I don't know if that garbage fire might taint the taste of your hot dogs though.
It doesn't really matter. You're eating hot dogs, you're eating Good garbage point. Anyway.
You don't know what's in there.
Yeah. But as you were commenting earlier, a lot of the chants of these groups were no Trump, no KKK, no racist USA.
No KKK? Does that even exist as a group? I was like, guys, that one's already solved. You don't need to yell that anymore.
They did endorse Trump officially.
They're
for
just
the
not
election,
too. They're not. They're not burning and hanging black people anymore. But they do exist.
No. Yeah. Well, I mean, they're not. They don't have any political power. Just the fact that they endorsed him. Never mind the Black Panthers endorsing President Obama. But. But you
it's
have
true. I mean, it goes both ways, yeah.
But you have these protests mainly by young people, college students around the country.
What are their grade point averages? How can they, if they're out protesting all night, how can they be ready for class at 8 a.m.?
Well, sometimes they get grades for protesting.
A plus in protesting.
It's
class.
A class. It's an actual class. I have a degree in protesting.
Well, I mean, that's what all their university professors did. So
sure.
We're just seeing the side effects of that. And it is really interesting that it is young people. I saw one map showed how people 25 and younger voted, and every single state was blue except for Iowa, Kentucky, and one in the Northeast, I forget. But pretty much all of them were blue. So, and someone said, we need to nurture this vision for the future.
Yeah.
So basically, they want to take over everything.
They should start sponsoring the protests. Like, this protest is brought to you by Birkenstocks.
Well, exactly.
Make some cash. It's a capitalist society.
Yeah. Well, I mean, sell those hot dogs they're burning on the trash fires and start campaigning here. Get some funds.
Take a food truck out there?
Exactly. Yeah. But they have a list of all the cities that broke out across the country. And it is quite a few. Oakland, Portland, Pittsburgh, Seattle, Philadelphia, Boston, Kansas City, Los Angeles, Minnesota, and Austin, Texas. I guess they had to make sure it was Austin, Texas.
Minnesota, like the entire state?
Yeah. It says Minnesota.
not even
so.
Minneapolis.
Every other city was a city.
It
the
might
entire
been,
state.
Yeah. Might be Minnesota, Texas. Because they say Minnesota and Austin, Texas.
So
maybe.
Weird.
Yeah.
It might be a Minnesota, Texas.
That's where commas are really important.
Yes.
And we're also covering today in bad high school journalism at the same time. Confusing lack of commas.
Yeah, it's nameception.
Kansas City is really the only surprise on that list, but I guess they're a bigger city anyway.
Right. Right.
But even Missouri this time was a red state.
Yeah, it wasn't. Kansas City had Black Lives Matter protests and things. Yeah. So,
but they had the barbecue to, didn't they? Was that
the police?
They
yeah,
had the barbecue
yeah.
with the police that and the protesters
took care of it.
Yeah, and it is interesting because there were Black Lives Matter protesters interspersed in some of these protests, and the biggest one that caused the most disturbances, there was one in New York where they marched up to Trump Tower. And they blocked off 6th Avenue there. And the other one was in L.A. where they caused a mile-long traffic backup because they blocked Interstate 101 for more than an hour. And eventually the police cleared them out of there. But they're using the same tactics we've seen earlier. Just people are saying it's Trump is not my president. That's the main movement, which that's not the way it works in democracy.
Right.
And it's just really interesting seeing this movement develop, and if it does get more steam, just that you will see more radical elements hijack it like they do with any other protest in the United States. But that's where it gets dangerous because right now is the most sensitive time. It's the most dangerous time because the nation is just preparing for the next presidency. There isn't a lot of information yet about Donald Trump's cabinet or exactly a definite policy laid out for the future. And so these people are acting without a whole lot of information. And it just could make the situation a lot more dangerous in January when he's actually sworn in if these protests continue. But it's just a sign that there is a huge generational gap, and the younger generation who are mainly doing the protesting, they're unwilling to accept the reality of the situation. And it's just going to be interesting to see how long this lasts and what will become of the protests, the anger, and everything that's out there right now.
The rule of law has been completely, it doesn't even mean anything to them. They don't understand anything about that. Yeah, and like you said, you can run around with a sign saying not my president, but if you live in this country and you are a citizen, then yeah, it is. I mean, that's the way it is. You don't have to like it. But that's why in 4 years they have a chance to put somebody else in there. But that's the way it works.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you want to do? I mean, is it going to be mob rule to where, and it's so funny, though, the way the media plays it. And they're obviously stirring it up because on the flip side, when President Obama came in, there are people that said, well, I don't like the policies and that. But no one could even say that, or you were automatically accused and name called and all that. So, I mean, people have a right to not care for the policies or whatever, but if you want to be a law-abiding country and a law-abiding citizen, you follow them. I mean, do I like the fact that I have to, pay money for things? I guess not. I'd prefer if everything in life was free. That would make life easier. But it doesn't work that way. I mean, you can't. But you see that mentality. You even see that with that example. You see flash mobs, right? People just show up and steal stuff. Well, you can't, though, because you have a breakdown of law, and then it's chaos.
Well, that's the thing, that protesting in that way of political demonstrations, what it leads to is it's counterproductive, because when you follow that line of reasoning, you're actually defeating the whole purpose of why you're even protesting. So if you're protesting the democratic system, the way to do it isn't to break down the rule of law, because then you're defeating democracy. You're just making things worse. The way to do it is, people have a right to protest, right of assembly, but there's a certain way to do it, and but you just have to use patience. You have to trust the system because that's the way it is, and just see you make the best of it. That's how any successful political person in history, whether conservative or liberal, that's why they were successful, because they used the rules to their advantage. They were patient, and they tried their best with what they had, and that's the logical choice to these people, but we're seeing, especially over the past 4 years, we've seen activism just have a resurrection in this nation, where it's done more on university campuses, especially for extreme political views. And I think it's those precedents are really building up to what we're seeing with these anti-Trump protests. But that's really not really the way to go about it, because you bring attention to your problem, but you cause a lot of negative side effects from this. Like you mentioned, flash mobs, violence, communists and anarchists hijacking these mobs and just creating a whole lot more trouble.
They're using the fact that 4 years ago people, or even 8 years ago, people were saying "not my president" about Mr. Obama. But the difference is, I don't remember mass burning of cars and breaking of shop windows last time the Democrats were elected.
Yeah, and either way, no matter who gets in there, it is the rule of law, and you do have to follow it, whether you prefer it or not. So
you can be as upset as you want to be, and as sad as you want to be. I don't know if you should really be as afraid as you want to be, because there's no reason for that, but there's no logical reason for that. But you can't take it out on, you know, the public. You can't be a danger to everyone else just because you're supposedly afraid.
Yeah, it's a bad situation. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what happens here. And the media, of course, plays a big role in it. There's Grant, you've got an article here from CBS News. Talking about the press, it's interesting to see the press talk about the press, talking about themselves. Commentary, it says, the unbearable smugness of the press. Well, what does CBS have to say?
This is a rare contrite journalist, someone who has taken Trump's election as somewhat of a correction to himself. He says here, it shouldn't come as a surprise to anyone that, with a few exceptions, we were all tacitly or explicitly hashtag with her, which has led to a certain anguish in the face of Donald Trump's victory. More than that, and more importantly, we also missed the story after having spent months mocking the people who had a better sense of what was going on. This is all symptomatic of modern journalism's great moral and intellectual failing, its unbearable smugness. Had Hillary Clinton won, there'd be a winking, "we did it" feeling in the press, a sense that we were brave and called Trump a liar and saved the republic. So this is their elevated view of themselves, that they are out there to change the world and to rescue the ignorant from their destructive choices.
Right, and those that are jumping on board feel like they're part of that movement. They feel like the opinion pieces that are talked about on those nightly shows, that they're with the smart people on this one, and we have to go out and try to get our way no matter what. But they're just ignoring a lot of facts. And again, it's such an echo chamber. That's even what Ben Rhodes called it when he talked about all the Iran deal lies that they pushed out there. These people sit in the same room all the time and talk to each other constantly, and they have the same ideas on everything. And so then they push those ideas out, and they, I assume, mostly came from the university systems. And so who's protesting today? Well, it's the university kids. It's the educational system. And when Eisenhower back in the 50s, or I guess a little before that even, when he was president of Columbia, one of the things they tried to do is keep communism out of the universities. They knew that Russia wanted to do that. They talk about Russia trying to steal an election. Russia's been pushing their ideologies on universities for 50, 60 years.
They've already stolen the universities, and we should have maybe tried to fight that as much as the Democrats were supposedly fighting interference in the election from Russia.
Right. Yeah, it's really interesting. So this guy, this writer from CBS, he feels like maybe they were too smug, and they need to change their ways, he thinks?
Right. It turns out that a lot of the viewers and a lot of their readers got tired of being ridiculed and called names all the time. It says here that the people delivered a rebuke to the political system and also the people who cover it. So that's what the journalists need to realize, is that it's not just them, people being sick of Hillary Clinton or sick of the two-party system, and that's why they elected Donald Trump. Really, it's because they got sick of the media so shamelessly on Hillary Clinton's side this whole time.
Right. And, you know, if you look at the numbers in terms of how much money the media is making, I mean, technology is changing, so the old ways don't make as much money, but they are losing a lot of money, and they're trying to figure out how does the New York Times survive? How does CBS News survive? And who's popular today? Drudge, right? He's probably the big one. Fox probably somewhat. Mm-hmm. Even some people that are a little bit out there, a little further, like an Alex Jones type of guy. But people are, at least they feel like they're getting something that's not as completely propagandized. Mm-hmm. Is that a word?
That is.
Yeah, go. Well, good one. Congratulations to me. they feel like maybe there's some element of truth in it. Even if it's not all right, at least they're not just being fed the narrative from some of those places. And it drives people, it drives like the media crazy, the mainstream media. They're crazy about Drudge. They can't stand the fact that he's out there, but people want to see what the stories that he puts up because they're somewhat unfiltered.
Yeah, and they're not even necessarily written by him. He just compiles the ones that are important, which the media should be doing a better job of themselves. Because if you look on, for example, the Washington Post or the New York Times, this entire election cycle, they were talking about Donald Trump. Just constantly they were attacking Donald Trump. And yet there are so many more important things going on that were not even reported.
I think that I think watching the election coverage a little bit on, I watched a little bit of NBC, I watched a little bit of ABC. And I mentioned this yesterday, there was a little bit of a disagreement between the older journalists and the newer ones, the younger ones. And the younger ones were just outraged and all this, and the older ones said, hey, this is democracy, this is how it works, you've got to accept that. And my guess is what you're going to see is the old guard's on their way out. Mm-hmm. Just they're on their way out anyway because they're older. But they're taking with it the experience, the history. Even though they probably were a lot more liberal than anything else, they've seen a few elections in their day. They respected the process on some level, and they're on their way out. And so your new guard is completely in the tank for the radical left. So what does that mean for your media? It means trouble. It means propaganda. That's what it means.
It means that the people hate the media, and that's what this guy even realizes, is that the people have hated the media for quite some time. And he also says, can you blame them? Journalists love mocking Trump supporters. We insult their appearances. We dismiss them as racists and sexists. We emote on Twitter about how this or that comment or policy makes us feel one way or the other. And yet we reject their feelings as invalid. And we have seen that a lot where they'll post something on Twitter saying, look, we're penned up in this metal pit right in the middle of all these rabid Trump supporters who are giving us obscene gestures and yelling mean things at us. We feel just so threatened. And yet an article I read acknowledged that they have priority seating. They can go straight through all the lines while other people are backed up for miles trying mm-hmm. to get into the same rallies. And what are they even there for? They're there to try to pick out one or two words Donald Trump says and paint him as a dangerous bully and a demagogue. So, of course, the people who actually want to be there to support him are going to be mad at the people who are taking up space and not even paying to get in.
Well, they were exposed for the fact that they were paying people to go instigate.
Mm-hmm.
Go there and instigate, see if you can get somebody to lash out at you, and then we'll get it on video and we'll run around and say, look what happened. It's exposed. And everybody knows he did it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it's just crazy. There's no way you can bring a nation together and unify a people when the most of the media is completely the other way. And they want to talk about, you know, the other side being racist or being whatever. When you take at least half of the country and you say they're automatically this way, that's what they're doing. They're doing what they're accusing everybody of doing.
Right.
Age-old trick. Millennium's old trick, right? That's what the devil does. I'm going to do it, but I'm going to accuse you of doing it.
Right. The very definition of racism is to take an entire group of people and then, based on their skin color, say they all have this one undesirable characteristic, which is them being racist.
Right.
So to say every single white person is racist and it's in their DNA, which is what President Obama said, or to even say that black police officers are racist as soon as they get in uniform because the entire system of law enforcement in this country is institutionally racist and you can't even help it because you're in the uniform, it just does go a long way toward alienating most of the population.
Oh, yeah. There's a great clip that's played on the Trump Daily Radio Show today, a lot of them, but there's one of the CNN guys, I can't remember who it was. I think I know, but I won't say.
That's nice of you.
he said this dogmatically on TV last night, CNN, talking to, you know, 16 viewers, how many ever watch CNN, and his friends and family. And he says, well, you know, Donald Trump is this way and this. He throws out all the terms, the racism, the misogynist, all that. And he says, if you support him, you're that too. That's what you are. Sorry. That's it. End of case. End of discussion. I'm like, you've just branded half of the country, at least, as that. Well, who are you? Well, you know everything. You read the hearts of man. That's what he says. And then he turns around and calls the other side, you know, all these things. He's guilty. He's doing it.
Exactly.
It's ridiculous.
What's I was talking with my wife about this last night, and the problem with liberalism and conservatism is that there's a natural arrogance that comes with both. With liberalism, and if they're not careful, there's plenty of humble people out there too, but especially when they have power and a voice and they think they're influential. Because with liberalism, you believe you're progressive, you're getting better, that your human nature is improving over time, and so you have the solutions to how to create a moral code for the country. And so it's that belief that you represent the next best progression of mankind. It gives you an arrogance that you're better than people who don't believe in the same thing. With conservatism, usually it has something to do with some Christian values where people can become self-righteous because they're more righteous than other people who don't believe in the same God. That's just a generalization, but I think it could be generally true if people aren't careful. That's not true for everyone. But I think what we're seeing with it's really exposing a liberalism, that arrogance, where ideologically they believe that they're the next step in the evolutionary process of mankind's moral code, of moral relativity and all those things. And so when the American people don't agree with them, when they lost an election, they don't understand how they can be taking a step backward. And
that was one of the signs at the protest. One day of election, undoing 100 years of progress.
Right.
Care to explain?
There's the fundamental misunderstanding in liberalism anyway, because they think that mankind is always getting better.
Right.
And they're always progressing. And whatever their ideas are is what being progressive is. And that is really even just showing you that they think they're better than everybody else, and they don't understand what human nature is either.
Right, and well, one of the guys that I think was another clip that was played on the Trumpet Daily radio show, or they talked about it, where he was, you know, doing the crocodile tears, and I raised my kids to, you know, be nice to everybody and not to be bully, and then how do I explain this? And I'm like, you're raising your kids to think that their opinions are always right and everybody else is wrong. That's what you're doing. But you're going to sit there and make it out like somehow they're being wounded by this result. But you're teaching them that you're always right and the other side is always wrong. And like you pointed out, Abraham, that can be ingrained in any belief. And that's, unless you're God himself, that's not true.
Right? Oh, exactly.
You know? Yeah. But that's the thinking. Well, we're always right. The other side's always wrong. But somehow we'll get together. That's cracked in the middle, and it's going to continue to divide unless people change their human nature. Is that going to happen in the near term? I don't think so.
Right. Well, that's, and with the media too, this shows a huge flaw in America, and that is the media have the job of reporting the facts and informing the people so they can make informed decisions about government. That's the media's job. It's not to influence an election for one side or the other. It's to be an unbiased observer, report, have some integrity so people can make their own choices based on collection of facts to make an informed decision. I mean, that's the way it should work for everything we do. But we've seen the media take a different role, and that's like we've been talking about. Some media groups even basically becoming propaganda pieces for certain candidates, government organizations, or just having such a biased view where they can't get over their own opinions, and it colors everything they say. And when that you get to that point in democracy, you have results like this where people ignore what the media is saying. And the problem is, if the media cries wolf at something that might be real, no one's going to listen to them.
That's a good
and
point.
They lose their power. And so democracy, that's a huge threat to democracy, because if people don't get information, if they don't know what's going on, they can't make decisions. Like in this election, who's right? Where's the truth? You have to wade through this cesspool of
Gary Johnson.
Accusations.
No, I don't know.
What's in Aleppo? Yeah, so it's you have to wade through all this accusations and biased views and everything, and it's really hard for people to find the middle ground, and it just leads to all this strife and everything we're seeing.
Yeah, and that's what I thought today when I was listening to the Trumpet Daily radio show. They're talking, these protesters talking about all this stuff and conflict. And I thought, what's the first casualty anytime you have war or conflict? It's truth, right? The truth is gone. You can't find the truth. All you have is opinion and emotion and rhetoric. And that's all you have. There's no, they can't stand, and really probably either side, can't stand the truth of the matter. drives people crazy to hear the truth. And so, you know, you can go to one side or the other. You can be more conservative. You can be more liberal. But if you hear the truth about something, that's where people get enraged by it. And that's what's missing. You don't have the truth in most cases. So it's a good time to plug thetrumpet.com. Check it out.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Get some truth there.
Yeah, the truth is only there. You can't find it anywhere else. But like you're saying, they think they're right. They think everyone else is wrong. And not only wrong, but worthy of endless insults, no matter how untrue. Because if you don't believe them, then you are a terrible person. And you deserve to be called all these names, even if they don't necessarily define you the right way.
Right. What's the thinking? The thinking is, we're right. We're going to get our way no matter what. I know a couple of guys that used to think that way, too. Adolf Hitler used to think that.
Mm-hmm.
He thought he was right, and he was going to do whatever it took to get his way. A lot of dictators have done that.
Yeah.
History's full of it.
Well, whenever we get to a point in an election where people don't like the result, I always remember the example of Winston Churchill, and there are two specific examples to bring this up, and that is, one, during World War II, he allowed a vote of no confidence against himself because he said it's a democratic process. If the people don't want me to lead, I won't.
Mm-hmm.
So he allowed that during the war at the peak of the Battle of Britain. And then the second time is when he lost in 1945. War was over. He stepped out and he said, I'll obey the will of the people, and that's it. And that's what everyone needs to remember with the Trump victory.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens. Gives us something to talk about, at least. Thanks for joining us here on Trumpet Radio Live today. Myself, Dwight Falk, Grant Turch, and Abraham Blondo. Have a great rest of your Thursday. If you can, I hope you can.
If you're not afraid.
Don't be afraid. We'll see you back here tomorrow.
You're listening to Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG.